The I-Train, isn't that great? One boy making a difference. The Spirit, the miracle of Christmas. And that's what Christmas is all about. It is a miracle. It's a miracle that Christ was born. I love Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And that's what we're talking about. And the key word today is year, not day. It's not the most wonderful time of December 25th. I get so excited around Thanksgiving because you know it's coming. You see the trees, you see the lights, you see the decorations. And most of all, you can turn on 100.3, and this is a plug for the radio station, 24 hours of Christmas music. And I love it. I mean, you turn it on and you hear these great songs. I mean, the first Noel, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. All the different great songs. I mean, you think about that. And I'll tell you, I've had for about a month my radio just tuned in to every Christmas song. In fact, when you came in today, I had Christmas music playing in the foyer just cranking. And I mean, everything from Noel to Little Drummer Boy. I love to listen to Christmas music. Mary, Did You Know? How about the little boy, I got to buy these shoes? And I cry every time I hear it. But it's Christmas time, and you got to have the music. And it's the only time of the year that we actually laugh when Grandma gets run over by a reindeer. I mean, it's okay. And then it all stops. In fact, when I took my son to work the day after Christmas, I turned on the radio, and it was all gone. There wasn't a single Christmas song. And I started flipping through, and I have a lot of stations programmed. I couldn't find a single song. No Bing Crosby. Nobody was singing Christmas songs. The stations knew it was over. It was time to stop. Christmas was done. And isn't it amazing how quickly we can shut it off? And fortunately for our Christian station this morning, I was coming to church. I turned it on. And they were playing Christmas music. I thought, good for you guys. Why not Christmas in July? How about we play O Come All Ye Faithful in March? It's great music. Christmas in July. Christmas in November. Christmas in May. Christmas year-round. Is it really that easy that we can shut Christmas off? I heard someone say, it's time to get the decorations down. I said, oh, not me. I would keep them up till the 4th of July if I could. I really would if I could. My wife won't allow me. We can get to maybe the end of January to leave the tree up, but it's got to come down. I love Christmas time. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Charles Dickens summed it up when he wrote his great play, A Christmas Carol. When Ebenezer Scrooge, after being visited by three spirits in the night, really showed him the past, the present, and the future, showed him what Christmas was all about. And at the end of the movie, he said, quote, Scrooge said, I shall honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year long. Isn't that a great quote for us? I shall honor Christmas in my heart and I shall attempt to keep it all year long. What is it about Christmas that's so great? You know what it is? I heard this. You can hear it when you're walking through the mall and you can hear a couple start fighting, you know. Well, we're not going to get that. Well, we don't have the money. Well, let's do this. Well, he wants that. Well, she wants this. And you can hear it. And then you hear one of them just ever so slightly. If you just hear some conversations, you hear, you know what? It's Christmas. Let's not do this. And I thought about that statement. It's Christmas. It's time to be a little nicer. Have you ever heard people say, we ought to have a little more joy. We ought to be nicer. Let's not do this. It's Christmas. And I thought, well, why shouldn't we say that on February 20th or February 16th on LK's birthday? It's time to be a little bit, is that the right day? I was close? February 16th. There we go. Let's be a little nicer. It's LK's birthday. How about August 19th? Let's be a little nicer. Let's not go there. It's my birthday. Let's not go there. And that's what it's all about. Isn't it all about people with a little more good cheer? And shouldn't we carry that over every single day? Can we really shut that off? Is it really going to happen that we can really take and just shut Christ right off? It's over. And I say, let's make it the most wonderful time of the year.
And like Scrooge said, I will keep it in my heart all year long. How can we keep Christmas all year long? Well, this story in Matthew chapter 2 gives us a couple of hints. And I want to share these with you today. I think these are so great. If you can honestly live by these things that we find in Scripture, I believe that Christmas will live in your heart all year long. And no matter the circumstances, this little boy, Isaac, isn't that amazing? The I train. I want to do something for these kids because I know what they're going through. Some of you might say, you know what, Pastor, I have a hard time celebrating Christmas with what I'm going through right now. You don't know. You're right. I don't know your situation. But God does. Whether you're having a hard time in your relationships, whether you feel lonely at Christmas time, whether you feel like you just can't get past the finances at Christmas, whether you can't get along at Christmas. I don't know what you're going through. But it doesn't mean the miracle can't still happen. And here's what the Scripture says. I think the first thing, if you're going to keep Christmas all year long, you hear people always say this. I sure hope, at least in the North, it'd be nice to have a white Christmas, the weather. And the weather has been absolutely unpredictable. You know, the last couple days we've had enough rain that just a little colder temperature, we would have had a foot of snow. And things would have been a lot different today and yesterday. Instead of people out shopping, people out doing things, we'd all been socked in to another blizzard. And with these winds that we had, we wouldn't be here in church. A little, just about a 15-degree swing, maybe 20-degree swing, your life would be a little bit different this week. Because instead of an inch of rain, you'd have had a foot of snow. Isn't that amazing how a little warmth changes everything? A little warmth goes a long ways. Weather. The weather makes a difference. And look at, it says in verse 1 through 3, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star. We came to worship him. Watch the weather here. The weather changes from the Magi to Herod. When King Herod heard this, he was, and look what your Bible says, he was disturbed. I don't know if you've ever been disturbed. Some people accuse me of being disturbed. Herod was disturbed. The weather makes a huge difference. Whether you worship him or whether you don't. That's the weather that we have to look for. If you're going to have Christmas all year long, it depends on whether you're here to worship Jesus or whether you're disturbed by Jesus. What a huge difference. I got to thinking about this, and Herod is one of the most overlooked characters in the Christmas story. He really is. Think about Herod. Herod ought to be a hero in this story. He is the king of Israel. Now, most of us, when you look at this, you go, Herod, what a horrible man. He's trying to kill baby Jesus, and he was. But Herod knew a whole lot more about God than you and I might ever hope to. He's the king of the Israeli nation. He's the king of the Jewish nation. He didn't get to be king by being voted in, just kind of thrust into this popularity contest. He was king because he was a Jew. He was a Jew, and at the age of 12, he went through bar mitzvah. He went into his rite of passage. When he went into his rite of passage, he had memorized the Pentateuch. He knew the first five books of the Bible. He was very well versed in Scripture. He knew a Messiah was coming. And as the king of the Israel nation, he should have been looking to celebrate, our king, our Savior has finally come. Instead, he was disturbed. How many of us miss the Messiah because we have our own agenda through the year? And if you want to celebrate Christmas all year long, we need to set aside our agenda and allow the agenda of the King of the Jews, the real Messiah, to step in. Now, you either decide, I'm going to be king, Jesus, you're out, or Jesus is king and I'm out. That is your choice if you want Christmas all year long. I see people say, I just can't get through this. Listen, if Jesus is the king of your life, you don't have any other choices but to accept what he gives you. He will set the agenda. He will set the economy. He will set every step of your life. In fact, my Bible tells me, with God as my king, the Bible says, the steps of a righteous man are ordained of God. In other words, everywhere I step, God has determined my step because He is my King. Now, if I'm the King of my life, my steps are on my own. In fact, the Scripture calls that sandy ground foundation. But I want the rock for my step. It never moves. It will not be shaken. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what this new year holds, but I can tell you this. As long as Jesus is your King and you're not the King, I'm going to tell you God holds you, so it doesn't matter what the year holds. And that's the most wonderful, wonderful time of this year. I can't wait for 2009. I don't know what will happen. But I guarantee you, with Jesus being born again in my life, it's going to be a good year. And I can't wait to see how that goes. Whether or not, both, look at, the Magi are looking to worship Him. Herod is looking to kill Him. It's a weather issue. What is it, whether I worship Him or not? People like Him in the cradle. Have you noticed that? People love the Christmas story. They don't even have to be Christians. The world stopped to celebrate the cradle. People like Him on the in the cradle. They don't like Him on the cross. People like Him as the resident. People don't like Him as their president. They want a Savior. They don't want a Lord. People are looking for a carpenter, not a king. Jesus, you can build things for me, but don't you rule my life. And it's time to say, He's no longer a carpenter, He's a king. And I tell you, a little warmth has changed everything. I pulled up today and I thought, I hope I don't slip in the parking lot. I hope it doesn't freeze over today. Thank God that the temperature didn't drop a little bit more, or we'd have been slipping and sliding in all this water and rain that we had. What a difference a little warmth will do in our lives. What a difference a little warmth this year in your heart will go a long ways to change your life from a blizzard to a blessing. Oh, I should have wrote that down. That's good. Pastor, where are the hankies? That's good stuff. Your life could be a blizzard or a blessing. I came to, it ought to warm you up. I met a lady this past week. It has been just such a blessing in my life. When we did the reverse Christmas, we don't have a lot as a church. We live on manna and quail as a church, by the way. You need to know that. We're a manna church. Our board members know that. Every time we get together, we said, well, the manna's here. Last Christmas, we had about $180 in the bank. The Christmas before, we had $92 in the bank. And we just kind of go through it. And this year, it's about the same because we just give it all away. I can't believe that we helped 7,000 to 8,000 people. Over 2,000 families were fed. 1,000 children received gifts. It was just such a blessing. And we, why? Because it's whether or not we're going to give and warm up our hearts. We warmed up our hearts. People didn't say, Pastor, I don't know what kind of vision you have for this Christmas thing, but you're crazy. I'm leaving. People said, let's do this thing. A little warmth would go a long ways. I met a lady, and she came through our reverse Christmas, and she said to me, she says, my little 2-year-old's sick. I have my 7-year-old. Can I get gifts for both of them? And our rule was, well, you can't because we can't be sure. There are people who manipulate the system. So, and I knew this lady. She's a wonderful gal. In fact, we helped her a year ago, and now she's a small group leader for little girls in Sons Ministries for Saving Our Neighborhoods and Streets. She's a part of that ministry, and I saw her a few weeks ago. And my heart was just overwhelmed at her story that she said she came here a year ago. She wasn't a Christian. She says, now, Pastor, to see it on the other side as a Christian, I see you and everything in life differently. A little warmth will go a long ways. Last year, we just helped her with a heating bill, and she started coming to church. She got saved. She got involved in a ministry. She's plugged into a ministry in a church right now, full-time active, helping little girls. And when she came through our reverse Christmas, and even though I knew her, we said, you just can't do that. So my heart was overwhelmed when it was done. I said, I'm going to take her gift. So I kind of, we had about 50 gifts left over, and we had 50 gifts left over. I tell you what, you can't outgive God. That just blew my mind. When it was all said, I remember Saturday night going, oh, after 5,000 people coming through going, we're out of presents. I got there Sunday afternoon, and people were just bringing presents, hundreds of presents in. And we gave those away. And then we still had 50 left over. And I said, what are we going to do with these? I said, I'm going to take a couple out. And the lady showed up from Toys for Tots with the Marines. In fact, we got a plaque she gave us. Thank you, Pastor Mitch and Grace Ministry, for being proud sponsors of Toys for Tots. Because we gave her this huge box. And as I'm giving to her, I said, oh, those two I'm going to keep because there's a lady with two kids and I'm going to help her out. I'm just going to go by her house and drop these off. I did that. Well, the lady goes, I want to help too. So she brings back a box bigger than the box I had for a couple more families. And so I went to these families. I gave to them. When I got this lady, she works at a bakery. And I got there. I said, here, I've got this. And I had this huge sack for her two boys. I was just going to take her two little gifts. And I walk and I go, I have a little something for you. I hope you haven't gone Christmas shopping. She goes, Pastor, I couldn't. Single mom. She goes, I couldn't this year. I didn't have anything. I said, oh, good. Then I have something for you. And I gave her this. I mean, it was just full of toys for two boys, 7 and 2. And so I didn't give her the two that I had set aside. And I gave it to her. She just started crying right there in the bakery. She says, I can't believe this. And I tried to help my sister out. I gave her $20 because she's got two boys the same age and she's got nothing. And she doesn't even have a part-time job like me. And I said, how old are those boys? She said, 7 and 2. I said, hold on. I went out to my car and the other stuff. I grabbed another sack and I came over. I said, here's for your sister's boys. And she is just bawling. The guy standing behind the counter working, he just can't believe it. He goes, who are you? I said, I'm Santa Claus. And they said, here's what do you want out of the bakery? Just take whatever you want. And I said, wow, isn't that something? A little warmth will go a long ways. And it turned a blizzard into a blessing. We were in a Pizza Hut. We go there quite often. There's a lady there. She just had her baby. She's a single mom, and she works every Sunday because I go eat there. Poor gal. And we decided to bless her. And so what does she do? She turns around, and she blesses us back. She gives us her manager's discount. The theater where my son works, they want to be involved. So they donated popcorn and all kinds of other stuff. And I went in and I told the manager, I said, I just want to thank you. You made a difference in hundreds and even thousands of people's lives. And so anytime I go in there now over this last week, my son's been working every day almost. And I'll just stop in and I'll just hang out to pick him up. And he'll give me popcorn. And he'll say, go into a theater. Oh, just watch any movie you want. Don't worry about it. And he's just giving me some. The blessing has come because of the giving. A little warmth goes a long ways in our lives. You bless other people. You can't outgive God. And I want to tell you something. The weather makes all the difference in the world this year, whether or not you have Christmas year-round. Whether or not you're here to worship the King or you are disturbed by Him being a king. And I want you to know I'm here to worship the King with you. Let's worship Him this year. Let's bow down to Him. The weather makes a difference. So does the calendar. Look at the calendar. It says this in Bethlehem in verse 5. It says, in Bethlehem in Judea, that's where He's going to be born. They replied, for this is what the prophets wrote. But you, O Bethlehem, you are by no means the least. In verse 7, look at this. Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report it to me so I might come and worship him too. I love baby Jesus. On the calendar, circle December 25th. That's Christmas time. I think it's great that, what a coincidence that Jesus, it's a good thing he was born on Christmas time. That kind of worked out good, didn't it, on December 25th? You'll get that maybe when you go home, or maybe it just wasn't that funny. But I find that interesting. I've had people say that. Isn't it somehow, I mean, that's just such a miracle. Jesus was born on Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah, it's a good miracle. We miss the whole point of circling the calendar that Christmas is. By the way, Christmas isn't December 25th. That's not the day that Christ was born. In fact, that didn't even happen until the 1800s. That Christmas wasn't celebrated for a time. It was actually outlawed because it was such a pagan holiday. And the king and the different people in different countries in Europe said, this isn't being done right. You can't find Christ in this. We're just going to outlaw it. It was such a revel. It was 12 days long, and it was just a big party. And Christ was hardly even mentioned. In fact, the early church didn't celebrate Christmas. Mark didn't even write about it, the birth of Christ, in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, you find the boy, Jesus, not the baby Jesus. They weren't so concerned about celebrating and circling a moment, because I think the church, the early church, and I believe God knew that there's a danger in worshiping a day instead of worshiping a king. Think about this. How many times people do that just on Sunday? People worship the day Sunday instead of worshiping the God of Sunday. See, I don't go to church to fulfill my religious duty. I go to church to worship my King with other Christians. That's the purpose of Sunday. But so many people have... Listen, today is a day of rest. It's a rest from the rest of the week. What is the rest of the week? The rest of the week is the week that I'm worshiping my God and doing things to bring the miracle of Christmas to other people. It's when I'm going to the hospital. It's when I'm helping the needy. In fact, Jesus said this, give somebody a shirt, buy somebody, and I'm going to give the MIV, Mitch's infallible version here. I'm going to paraphrase it. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples. Give someone a hamburger. Give someone a shirt. Go visit them when they're locked up or in trouble or in the hospital. And the disciples said, Lord, you said we didn't do that. When didn't we? We never even saw you. He says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. And see, sometimes we think coming to church fulfills Christ's purpose. And it's not. I come to church because I was fulfilling Christ's purpose on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and yes, even Saturday. And now I come to church on Sunday to worship my King because it's my rest from the rest of the week where I was serving my King. But we've got this calendar where we circle December 25th and we go, there's Christmas. And God says, no, don't worship the day. Worship the King of the day all year long. And my calendar says December 25th, December 26th, December 27th. Today's the 28th. Let's worship the King. Guess what I'm going to do on January 1st? I'm going to worship Christmas. It is the Christ Mass. That is the Mass. I am bringing the Mass Christ. And where is the Mass? Well, they were in the mall yesterday. Oh, trust me, I saw them. I was in line at Target. I couldn't believe. I said to this poor little boy in front of me, and I say, boy, I'm getting older, because he was probably 19 or 20. And you could just see the distress on his face. Is this lady, I could see her just scamming. Well, this is supposed to be on sale. And this one's just like this one. And this one's, and she's just running things through. And as she's going through, and I said to myself, I said, we always get in this line. Why are we always in this line? And here's the deal. If you're always in the line, then bring the blessing in the blizzard. And I'm watching this. I mean, it was crazy in there. And this boy's face, you could just see he was not having a good day. And this lady says, I want to see your manager. And the manager came and says, no, that's the price of that. Well, who are you? Give me your boss. And I thought, oh, we're going to be here a long time. Well, ma'am, if you'd just like to step aside here, we could talk to you. And I finally got up there. I looked at this boy. I said, did I miss something? What is happening here today? Have this been like this all day? And he just looked at me and he goes, yeah. I said, you know what? Bless you. I said, you need to have a good day. I said, I don't know what's going on. And I just started trying to bless his life, just started speaking into his life. You know what? He got a little smile on his face. I cracked a couple of jokes, and I'll just leave it at that. And he started smiling. I said, you have a Merry Christmas. And he could look at me and said, well, Christmas is over. It's not over. I'm bringing the masses Christ, and that's Christmas. Christmas, and I'm going to do that all year long. So when you circle your calendar, know this. It's not one day, it's 365 days of the year. If you'll live that way, thinking I'm bringing Christ to the masses, just like this. It says, Herod called the Magi secretly and found the exact time. Did it really matter the exact time? No, he had an agenda. He was going to do what he needed to do. People do that in church. Well, I got to get there. I got to get there at 9 o'clock. I got to get to that service. 10 o'clock. Service is over. I got to go. I have done my time. I have been there at the exact time. I've done church. I have celebrated Christ. You go to Africa, where my wife spent 6 months, they show up and they have church. They have church all day long. They bring chickens. They bring goats because they got to have some lunch, some milk. They do that because they travel for miles to come hear the Word of God. And she says, I remember one day this guy came in and he said, he preached a sermon and he sat down and one of the national guys from Zambia got up and he came over and he elaborated on what this preacher just said. And the preacher was a good American preacher. He preached his 20-25 minute sermon and he sat down. Well, the problem is that's the way we do it in America. In Africa, these people have come from miles, from villages and mountains and places to hear God's word. And so this guy got up to elaborate on what the preacher said, and he spoke for another 2.5 to 3 hours on what the preacher had said. The preacher must have missed something in this text. And he sat down, and afterwards the preacher said to him, he says, I'm sorry, did I do something wrong? He says, you've got to understand, these people have come a long ways to hear about God. We have today to worship our God together, and they've come a long ways to hear you. And so when you just got them warmed up, you know, now we want to teach them. See, we've got to the place where we have that exact time, like Herod. We've circled it and said, that's Christmas. We've circled and said, that's Sunday. We've circled and said, that's LK's birthday. And I say, why not celebrate his birth? I know his mom and dad celebrate and are thankful to God every day of his life. It is his birthday. It's not one day a year. Thank God for that child every day of his life. Why not thank God for the baby Jesus every day of our lives? And that brings Christmas year-round. And finally, it's about the presence. And if you spell it P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, that would be wrong. It's presence with a C. If you want to have Christmas year-round, then you have to have the right presence of Christ. And there are three presents. Verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And I love this. And it says, they opened their treasures. Oh, isn't that great? They opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Now, you probably heard this if you've been to any church service at Christmas time about the three gifts. It represented that he was prophet, priest, and king. The gold is set aside for a king. The incense is for a priest. The myrrh is what they used to bury someone in. That's for the Savior. But I want to tell you something a little bit different. Practice the presence. Have the right presence for God. And here's the presence. Well, there's gold. If I practice the presence of Christ in my life, I'm going to have the gold of God. And that is the golden rule. And that is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's what I want to do. I want to treat other people. I want to put myself in their place. Every moment of every day, I wonder what they're going through. In fact, even that lady who was having a difficult time, I thought, I wonder what she's going through. I don't know her life. I don't know her heart. But I bet there's something in her life. And when you see people, you know, impatient, you see people rude, you see people angry, you ought to ask yourself the question, how can I bring a blessing in this blizzard? I wonder how I would want to be treated. Maybe they just need a hug. Go up and give someone a random hug. Well, don't get punched in the face. Don't get in trouble. But you know what? Practice the presence. Practice the presence with gold. Do unto others. How about the incense? The incense are the aroma. Priests use those to offer an aroma to God. And they would often sense in the tabernacle around the Ark of the Covenant, they would burn these incense, and it was to go up to the heavens. And in fact, God said very specifically, here's how you will make these incense. They will smell good. And they were told exactly how to make these incense to please God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, you are the aroma of Christ. I ought to have that gift, that presence in my life. It says, to some you're the aroma of life, to those who are being saved. To others, maybe you've read this before, maybe you're just hearing this. To others, and get this, you are the aroma of death. And I don't know if you've ever driven by roadkill that's been out for days. But that's what he's talking about. He says, to some people you are just this stench. Why are you the stench? Because I am living in Christ. And when I come around people who are living in death, the smell of life to dead people is a horrible smell. That's why people are repelled by people. You turn the light switch on in a dark room when people are in there doing secret sins and living their life in sin. No wonder why Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A light on a hill that can't be hidden. No wonder why people hate the light, it says in John chapter 3. You turn a light switch on, people don't shut the light off. Nobody wants their... You are the aroma of life. To those who want Christ, you live your life. You know what happens when you live your life? People come up and they go, you ever smell beautiful candles? I love candles. Someone got us a pumpkin candle last year. I love that smell. Of course, I love pumpkins. You come in our house, my wife's got those candles going. You just walk in and go, it just makes you feel good. You ought to be living your life all year long. So when people see you, they just go, I just like being around you. You are the aroma of God. You ought to be the aroma of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's the presence of Christ in you. And finally, myrrh. And I thought about this. How do you practice myrrh in your life? And here it is. That's death, right? I mean, that's the embalming stuff that they would bury, they put on the body before they'd wrap it. And I thought about that. Isn't that what Paul said? For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I die daily to myself and live only for God. That's what it is to have myrrh in your life. If you live your life every day thinking, God, today I don't live for myself. I've died to myself. I live for you. Imagine what difference, if the church did this, what difference in this world there would be. I wonder if there would even be very much hunger if the church, 1 billion strong, lived their lives with myrrh, the presence of God, the presence that I don't live, but Christ lives in me. I want to live that way all year long. I would like to say that I could set myself aside and do that. I want to see the miracle of Christmas all year long. And so what do? Look for opportunity, because the presence of Christ in me is Christmas to the masses. There's a lady, Beth Moore. I shared this story a year ago with you, and I thought it was appropriate to close this morning. Beth Moore is a famous Christian author, and she wrote, this happened to her in Knoxville, Tennessee in April of 2005. She was waiting to board an airplane, and she had her Bible in her lap. Being a good Christian, she was reading her Bible. I don't know if you've ever done that. Take opportunity to be Christ, you know, everywhere and every way you can. So she's got her Bible open, and here's what she says. I'd had a marvelous morning with the Lord. I say this because I want to tell you it's a scary thing to have the Spirit of God really working in you, the presence. You could end up doing some things you never would have done otherwise. Can anybody relate to this? When you're practicing the presence of God, He gets you to do things that you go, what am I doing? But trust God in this. You could end up doing these. Life in the Spirit can be dangerous for thousands of reasons, not the least, which is your ego. I tried to keep from staring, but he was such a strange sight. Humped over in a wheelchair, he was skin and bones. He was dressed in clothes that obviously fit when he was at least 20 pounds heavier. His knees protruded from his trousers, and his shoulders looked like coat hangers were still in his shirt. His hands looked like tangled masses of veins and bones. You're getting the picture? The strangest part of him was his hair and his nails. Stringy gray hair hung well over his shoulder and down parts of his back. His fingernails were very long, clean but strangely out of place for an old man. I looked down at my Bible as fast as I could. Oh, man. Discomfort was burning my face, she says. As I tried to imagine what his story might have been, I found myself wondering if I'd just seen Howard Hughes. Was a camera on us somewhere? There I sat, trying to concentrate on the Word of God to keep from looking at this slice of humanity served on a wheelchair only a few seats from me. All the while, my heart was growing more and more overwhelmed with this feeling for him. Curiosity is a heap more comfortable than a true concern. And suddenly I was awash with aching emotion for this bizarre, older-looking man. I had walked with God long enough to see the handwriting on the wall. I've learned that when I begin to feel what God feels, something so contrary to my natural feelings, something dramatic is about to happen. Can anybody testify to this? And it may be embarrassing. I immediately began to resist. I could feel God working on my spirit. I started arguing with God in my mind. And I don't know if you've gone there. She said, "Oh no, God, please." I looked up at the ceiling as if I could stare straight through it into heaven and said, "God, don't make me witness to this man. Not right now, not here. I'll do anything. Put me on the same plane, but don't make me get up here and witness to this man in front of this gawking audience. Please, Lord." There I sat in the blue vinyl chair begging His Highness, "Please don't make me witness to this man. Not now. I'll do it on the plane." And then I heard it. "I don't want you to witness to him." She heard that voice in her heart. "I don't want you to witness to him. I want you to go over and brush his hair." The words were so clear, my heart leapt into my throat. My thoughts spun like a top. Do I witness to the man or brush his hair? No brainer. I looked straight back at the ceiling and said, "God, as I live and breathe, I want you to know I'm ready to witness to this man." "I'm on this, Lord. I'm your girl. You've never seen a woman witness to a man faster in your life. What difference does it make if his hair is a mess, if he's not redeemed? I'm going to witness to this man." Again, as clearly as I've ever heard an audible word, God seemed to write His statement across the wall of my mind. "This is not what I said, Beth. I don't want you to witness to him. I want you to go brush his hair." I looked up at God and quipped, "I don't have a hairbrush. It's in my suitcase on the plane. How am I supposed to brush his hair without a hairbrush?" God was so insistent that I almost involuntarily began to walk toward Him as these thoughts came to me from God's Word. Quote, 2 Timothy 3:17, "I will thoroughly furnish you unto all good works." I stumbled over to the wheelchair thinking I could use one myself. Even as I retell the story, my pulse quickens and I feel those same butterflies. I knelt down in front of the man and asked as demurely as possible, "Sir, may I have the pleasure of brushing your hair?" He looked back at me. "What did you say?" "May I have the pleasure of brushing your hair?" To which he responded in volume 10, "Little lady, if you expect me to hear, you're going to have to talk louder than that." At that point, I took a deep breath and I blurted out, "Sir, may I have the pleasure of brushing your hair?" At which point, every eye in the place darted right at me. I was the only thing in the room looking more peculiar than the old Mr. Longlocks. Face crimson and forehead breaking out in sweat, I watched him look at me with absolute shock on his face and say, "If you really want to." Are you kidding? Of course I didn't want to. But God didn't seem interested in my personal preference right then. He pressed on my heart until I could only utter these words, "Yes, sir, I would be pleased. But I have one little problem. I don't have a hairbrush." "I have one in my bag," he responded. I went around the back of the wheelchair. I got on my hands and knees and unzipped the stranger's old carry-on, hardly believing what I was doing. I stood up and started brushing the old man's hair. It was perfectly clean, but it was tangled and matted. I don't do many things well, but I must admit I've had notable experience untangling knotted hair mothering two little girls. Like I'd done with either Amanda or Melissa in such condition, I began brushing at the very bottom of the strand, remembering to take my time, not to pull. A miraculous thing happened to me as I started brushing that old man's hair. Everybody else in the room disappeared. There was no one alive for those moments except that old man and me. I brushed and I brushed and I brushed until every tangle was out of his hair. I know this sounds strange, but I've never felt that kind of love for another soul in my life. I believe with all my heart, for that few minutes, I felt a portion of the very love of God that He had overtaken my heart for a little while renting a room and making Himself at home for a short time. The emotions were so strong and so pure that I had to be God. It had to be God's. His hair was finally as soft and smooth as an infant's. I slipped the brush back in the bag, went around to the chair to face him. I got back down on my hands and knees and said, "Sir, do you know my Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I do." "Well, that figures," I thought. He explained, "I've known him since I married my bride. She wouldn't marry me until I got to know the Savior." And he said, "You see, the problem is I haven't seen my bride in months. I've had open heart surgery, and she's been too ill to come see me. I was sitting here thinking to myself, what a mess I must look like for my bride. It's Christmas. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Whether in an airport, or in a children's hospital, or in a movie theater, or in your life. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Don't circle the day, circle your calendar. Practice the presence. And let the weather change. We're due for a good global warming these days. Let's warm peace on earth and goodwill. Will you stand with me?